Blog Talk Radio.
Andrew, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how, and look, All Out last night was a terrific show. We're going to talk about it, I'm sure. But it's amazing to me how immediately the people that hated CM Punk is gone from the company, and magically everything that's wrong with AEW is cured. They had the best show in history last night. It was a very good show. I loved it. I liked it a lot. I said it last night. It's just funny to me that as soon as the guy is gone that they don't like, everything was magically fixed right away.
That is pretty amazing. Yeah, it was just that one little thing they had to do, and now it's paradise over there.
It's like, I remember, it's probably the same segment of the fan base, to be honest with you. But when Jim Cornette was removed, I guess, or whatever, as booker of Ring of Honor back like 10 years ago. Okay. And really, it wasn't even really removed. Like, they just removed him in title only. It was still him and Delirious that were booking the product at that point. But they changed who was deemed head of creative. And it was like a week later, they had a pay-per-view. Like, oh, my God, everything's fixed. Ring of Honor's great now. Because Jim Cornette's finally gone, and Cornette is in Delirious. I think they're both on record with, like, we didn't change anything. We just changed the titles. but it's like this. And honestly, those people are probably the same people that think, you know, everything has been fixed now that CM Punk is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think things would have been too much different if Punk was there. It would have just been – so we did get that awesome Danielson-Ricky Starks match that was probably better than what Punk could have done.
Oh, 100%. That's probably been, honestly,
might
be my favorite match of the year so far.
I was thinking that too, actually. I was like, am I crazy for that?
You know, I don't think you are. I think that has probably been my favorite match of the year so far.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I was thinking of it today. I'm like, that's definitely like a top 10 AEW match for me so far, maybe top five. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. But otherwise, yeah, the rest of the show, I think, would have been pretty much the same. It would have, like, the matches would have all been good to great for the most part. And yeah, it would have been switch out Punk for Danielson, really.
Yeah. And honestly, like, it was a good show. The build was awful, and I know Tony said he's not going to pay attention to the build and people complaining about the build of these shows anymore, because all the shows always turn out great. And yeah, their pay-per-views generally are pretty big hits.
He said that?
I think he said that in the media scrum last night. He was like, everybody always complains about the build. I'm not even going to listen to that anymore because our pay-per-views always turn out great.
What?
Something to that effect.
That's like saying he doesn't care about storylines.
Yeah, basically. But I mean, we talked about this on Saturday. Like, the build of the show was terrible because it really didn't exist.
Yeah,
it was two shows. But a lot of these matches that I was not excited about earlier in the week, and it wasn't just me, and it wasn't just you. A lot of people were complaining about some of the matches on this card because it didn't feel like a pay-per-view card. Those matches still delivered. Like, Miro and Powerhouse Hobbs was a fun match. It was a fun big man match. Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander, who I really don't care about either of these characters. I couldn't care less about either one of them.
Same.
But it was... aside from the kind of a wonky finish, it was a pretty good match. They worked really hard. There was a lot like that last night, it felt like. Where, like, there's so many matches in this card. It's like, I don't really care about either of these people. But still, like, they went in there and worked hard, and the match was good. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good show.
Oh, same. Yeah, I was grumbling to you on the air. I think I was grumbling to you off the air. I was like, I'm not interested in this show. This is the least interested I've ever been in an AEW show. Like, I wouldn't buy this if I wasn't doing this show. But yeah, like, the whole time I was watching it, for the majority of it, I'm sure we can nitpick here and there for sure, but for the majority of it, I was actually, you know, having a pretty good time. So I'm not mad about spending the money on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about Punk tonight too. I don't want to stew on it too much, 'cause we talked about it on Saturday, when we filled in for Wade after Collision, but it is, you know, I was thinking about this a lot today. And just because Punk is gone, which, again, we said on Saturday, and for anybody that didn't listen on Saturday, before people start thinking I'm apologizing for CM Punk, if he lunged at his boss and tried to fight his boss, like, yeah, he should have been fired. 100% he should have been fired. I think you still have to do more to other people, which I will get to in a second. But it doesn't change my opinion that the reason why Punk was a problem was in part because of CM Punk. but it was also in part because of the dynamics in which the backstage environment in AEW was run. And that still, to my knowledge, has not changed. And until that changes, I think you're going to continue to have issues like CM Punk. And it's not going to be as bad as Punk, because no one's going to try to fight Tony Khan. Because as we'll get to in a minute, I have a theory on that, by the way. I think sure. Punk went into London wanting to get fired, which I'll lay out in a second. But
sure.
I don't think anyone else is going to, you know, attempt to fight Tony Khan. But I think you're going to continue to have backstage bickering. You're going to continue to have issues because no one there is in charge. Like, no one respects Tony Khan as an authority figure. Like, I've complained forever about authority figures in wrestling. Like, if I never saw one on TV again, I'd be happy. But AEW needs one, at least behind the scenes, because I don't think anyone respects him as an authority figure, as we saw even after Punk got fired this weekend. Like, you still, like, Cash Wheeler being one, as he came out on Collision, I didn't even catch this. Somebody sent me the screenshot of it today. As him and Dax were coming out on Collision the other night, Wheeler's in the background, you know, with his hands crossed, kind of like the CM Punk single song, really? With like the tape wrist.
Really?
At night, they fired the guy. And Andrade's tweeting, you know, I want to thank CM Punk, a picture, because Andrade's probably looking to get fired too.
Yep.
And you get the Bucks. I saw the video today of, you know, they took a victory lap, you know, when Collision went off the air on Saturday. Like, that wasn't and people can say that had nothing to do with it all they want. They're passive-aggressive children. I guarantee you that had something to do with CM Punk getting fired. Just like today. Did you see the clip of Kenny on Being the Elite today with the water bottle?
No.
So he's drinking. I saw it was a 30-second clip that I saw. But he's backstage. He goes to drink something out of it. He's like, I have to drink this. And he grabs a water bottle that has a blue label on it with a black liquid in the water bottle. And he takes a drink, and then he spits it out, and he's like, oh, my God, what is this? It tastes like lighter fluid. And it looks like he's drinking a Pepsi and then spitting it out and talking about how awful it tastes. He's hiding the label as he drinks it. And it kind of exploded on Twitter this afternoon, and then about an hour ago, you know, Kenny tweeted, he's like, it's a water bottle with electrolytes in it. People have to calm down. I'm sorry, Kenny. I don't believe you. Because you're not – I've got to give these guys credit. Like, they're not that stupid. They're really not. They're smart guys. Mm-hmm. They're not dumb enough to do a little – so why did you do the little bit where you're drinking a black liquid out of a clear plastic bottle that has a blue label on it that you can't really tell if it's a Pepsi bottle or not? But then you're going to spit it out and go, oh, it tastes like lighter fluid. It's awful. And then go, it wasn't Pepsi, people. Calm down. And it wasn't, which is fine. It wasn't. But you must think that your audience is a bunch of morons if I'm really going to believe that was not intended to be exactly what it looked like it was.
Yeah, why else would it be? Why else would they? What's the joke if it's not?
What's the joke? Exactly. What's the joke? They're passive-aggressive children. So you have the stuff with the Elite. You have the stuff with Dax. You have the stuff with Andrade. Honestly, Tony's at the point. He needs to suspend everybody. I'm sorry. Suspend them all. It doesn't have to be for a long time, but at least show that you got some balls and, like, enough is enough. Put your foot down. He has to, at some point, put his foot down and say, I said to stop doing this. And if you're not, then you're going to go away. Like, nobody cares. Nobody respects him as an authority figure whatsoever. And just because CM Punk is gone doesn't mean that that's going to change. Clearly it doesn't, because there's like four examples of people basically spitting in Tony's face since they fired Punk 48 hours ago.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. I didn't hear the thing with Cash. And, you know, I was thinking of, like, locker room leaders, and, you know, recently, just because, you know, Punk kept claiming that, like, he was one, but, you know, WWE always had, like, the Undertaker, and you don't have to be exactly like the Undertaker, but, like, can you imagine him, like, you know, gloating on CM Punk's getting fired from WWE? Like, he wouldn't, like, stoop to that level. He'd be, like, the bigger person and be like, yeah, that has nothing to do with, like, our show. So, yeah, I wish that stuff, that should probably go away. And, like, the Elite won. Like, Punk's gone. They got millions of dollars. I'm sure they got a huge pay increase. They're you know, they can be on Collision now, and they're still, like, going after Punk. You do that. You don't have to do that on the air. You, like, can do that behind the scenes. But on the air, like, yeah, put on a better example of, like, you know, look, no more of this. Same with Cash Wheeler, too. Like, that,
yeah,
that was stupid. Like, he, as far as, you know, like, you know, Tony Khan was, you know, thought he was going to get attacked. And, like, you know, Cash is, like, showing his respect to Punk. Like,
that's what I mean. Like, it's insane. Nobody thinks that he's going to do anything. No one is scared of Tony Khan. And, like, Tony wants to be everybody's friend, and I get that. But at some point, you have to be a little bit of a prick. And you got to be like, look, I said don't do this or you're going to go home. And if it means suspending somebody, I'm not saying you got to fire people. I'd fire Jack Perry, but that's, again, just because I think Tony's at a point where under other circumstances, maybe under different circumstances, maybe he doesn't need to fire Jack Perry. But under these circumstances where it seems like his backstage is completely out of control, I think he does need to do something to send a message and put a little bit of fear into some of the people on his roster. They're like, look, you better fall in line and do what I'm telling you to do, or you'll be gone. Like, enough is enough. I don't think anybody is afraid of Tony as an authority figure, because, again, like, if they were, Jack Perry wouldn't have said on TV what Jack Perry said, and Cash wouldn't have done on Collision what Cash did, and all these things wouldn't happen, but they continue to happen. They were happening before Punk. They're now going to happen even after Punk, because CM Punk was a problem. CM Punk was fired. CM Punk deserved to be fired. Again, before anybody misconstrues what I'm trying to say, he's gone. He deserves to be gone. You can't lunge at your boss.
Right.
But all the other issues still exist, and they're going to continue to exist until Tony puts his foot down and becomes a boss.
Yeah, the thing that Jack Perry especially, I think, should be addressed, because, you know, if I'm Tony Khan, I would be talking to him and the locker room itself and be like, do you realize, like, what you've done? Like, we're coming up with TV contract negotiations. Hypothetically, we might get $200 million a year for 5 years. That's kind of, you know, whatever. You know, people keep saying, like, $1 billion. That number keeps pulling out. But, like, say the Collision ratings go down. Is Warner Brothers going to throw as much money at that? Maybe not. It's like, you know, everyone could have just got along for now until that deal was signed. Like, this could have cost us tens of millions of dollars, potentially, in further revenue. And the final, like, straw is Jungle Boy on that one. So he may never be able to contribute as much as he has could potentially cost this company.
And I'm sorry, too. Like, the people, there's some people, and I get, you're going to get this no matter what. There's some people that are so just, they're just such big diehard Elite fans, I guess. Mm-hmm. They can't even admit that those guys have played any role in this at all. Like I put on Twitter today, there was the story going around today, the report out there that Punk wanted to meet, and then the meeting was canceled, which, again, I'll bring up in a second. But, you know, I just made the point that, hey, you know what? In places that I've worked, if my boss wanted me to meet with somebody, I wasn't asked, hey, will you meet with this person? You're usually told you're going to meet with this person. Like, there's an issue. You're going to meet with this person, and we're going to figure it out. But apparently with the Bucks, they were asked. And the responses I was getting was like, well, why would, I mean, they were victims of assault. Why would they have to meet with someone who assaulted them? It's like, are we forgetting? Like, yes, Punk, they got in a backstage fight because they went into the guy's locker room. This wasn't like they were walking out to their cars and Punk brutally attacked them in some sort of assault where he should end up in jail. Like, they're not innocent victims here. But apparently, like, that just gets forgotten about, and there's certain people, you can't reason with them. Like, this, you're not a reasonable person if you're telling me that, you know, why would they want to meet with the person who assaulted them? You know how they could have avoided getting assaulted? Not go in his locker room. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. Like, I guess, but again, they were going in there just to have a quiet conversation, Andrew. They just wanted to talk to Phil, and then he brutally assaulted them. It's insane to me. And this is what the problem is. Like, this is never going to go away because of situations like this that are going to keep on happening. And it's like talking to my children. Like, when my children have a fight, like when my kids get in an argument or something like that, my youngest, no matter what happens, always approaches it from the standpoint of, I am 100% innocent. I did nothing wrong. Uh-huh. And my older brother just attacked me for no reason. And I feel like that's what you get when you're dealing with the Bucks and their hardcore fan base. It's like they've done nothing wrong. They deserve no blame for any of this. They're completely innocent, and they're victims in all of this, which is hilarious. But I guess, again, that's what some people think, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I'm sure they, did a lot of, needling and politicking along the way that upset Punk. And I'm not – again, Punk 100% should have been fired. Like, he should not ever be welcome back. Just to preface that. But, yeah, he was definitely, provoked along the way, and people knew he had a short temper. He can't let things go. Somebody's got to be the bigger man at some point, even if it means, being all right, Phil, you're right. just let him have his way. But nobody was ever able to do that. Everyone was stubborn. And yeah, if the Bucks had not gone into his locker room, AEW would be such a different place right now. I imagine Punk would have not have lost his mind even further. And maybe he could have, he successfully been on Collision for the next few years. Maybe.
Let me just run through really quick. I want to get your thoughts on this. I kind of threw this together earlier today. This is why I think Punk went into London. I think with CM Punk, I don't know if he made the decision, but I think at some point on Saturday, he decided this is my last day in the company. and here's why. So, sure. Again, I want to start with CM Punk attacked his boss, okay? He should be fired. and if I were Tony Khan, I'd also suspend other people as well, not just Jack Perry. I'd go even deeper if you want to show some sort of authority, but he needs to do something to stop the passive aggressive. Because the other thing too is all these little passive aggressive digs that the Elite are going to do on BTE for the next month, and who knows, probably even on television. All it's going to do is keep this whole situation alive. It's going to keep people like us talking about it.
Yeah.
Tony wants it to go away, but anyway, I'm back to Punk. The crux of this entire issue, in my opinion, like I said earlier, is that no one, CM Punk, Jack Perry, the Elite, Cash Wheeler, no one views Tony as an authority figure. They just don't. We learned today that Punk wanted out in December, right? That was a report that was out today. He was trying to go back to WWE, wanted to enter the Royal Rumble, feud with Kevin Owens going into WrestleMania. So in my opinion, and we know that Punk visited WWE while he was out as well. He went to a Raw taping or whatever it was. So my opinion, and again, all of this is my opinion, but it's my opinion based on what I think Punk's mindset was going into last Saturday. I don't think, from learning some of these reports that we've learned now in the last 24 hours, I don't think Punk ever wanted to return to AEW. Even going back to this past summer, I don't think Punk wanted to come back and do Collision. I think Punk wanted out. And I think Punk wanted out, and he wanted to go back to WWE. And the reports are, of course, that WWE had lukewarm interest or maybe no interest at that point in time. But also, if WWE had expressed interest at that point in time, it's contract tampering. Yeah. You've got a contract with AEW. They can't say that they have interest. It's the definition of tampering. So I don't think the Punk ever wanted to really return. But kind of gets forced into it because he's under contract and he has to, right? If he wants to work, he can stay home, or if he wants to come back to work, he's got to come back to work to AEW because they didn't release him. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this. There was the report out there that Punk made Hangman leave a Collision taping, right?
Yeah.
Then we found out that Punk had nothing to do with Hangman leaving the building. It's reported that Punk forced Hangman to leave, and then it was reported that, Punk didn't force Hangman to leave. He was actually kind of upset because he wanted to try to meet with Hangman, which at the time, I don't think a lot of people believed. But now we find out today that Punk also was trying at the same time to meet with the Elite. So I think Punk is does not kick Hangman out of a Collision taping, but the report is that he did. Kind of like if it's true that Punk did not get Colt Cabana relegated to Ring of Honor, kind of like how Punk got blamed for Colt going to Ring of Honor, even though he, in his mind, had nothing to do with it. Well, same thing here. He gets blamed for this Hangman thing, but in actuality, he had nothing to do with it. So the real story is that Punk wanted to meet with Hangman. The story on the internet is Punk had Hangman banned, and no one, including Tony, who does multiple interviews over the course of this process, ever corrects that. Right before All In, they did a double taping. Dynamite and Collision were both taped in Duluth, Georgia. Mm-hmm. That was the night that, again, according to reports came out today, that Punk thought he was going to meet with the Elite. The Elite refused the meeting. And the report, I think, from Brian Alvarez was, well, it's a matter of semantics. Punk said he had a meeting and it was canceled. The Elite said that the meeting never existed because they said no.
Hmm.
Well, what's the truth there? What I think probably happened is Punk probably asked for the meeting. Tony said, okay, I will set up a meeting. And then the Elite refused it. So Punk's side's not wrong. He thought he was going to have a meeting and it didn't happen. The Elite side's not wrong. They were asked to have a meeting and they said no. Again, Tony's not exerting authority and telling either Punk, no, we're not having this meeting, or telling the Elite, you're having the meeting. He's not being a boss and telling either side what they don't want to hear. So, Punk's now just stewing about this whole situation. And this is 3 days before All In. So Punk has the Hangman story. He's like, geez, nothing here. Again, I'm trying to get inside of Punk's head, but nothing here is changing. I'm getting blamed for this Hangman thing. I had nothing to do with it. I'm trying to meet with the Elite. I had a meeting, and then they canceled it because they won't even talk to me. Like, this is ridiculous. Nothing's changed here. The Elite have re-signed, so they're not going anywhere. It's not going to get better. I am working with children, just like he said back in a year ago. And I think, Punk is just, he's stewing about all this. Then he gets to the airport, and like we talked about last week, doesn't have a ride. And, yeah, CM Punk, you're a millionaire with a cell phone and Uber.
Yeah.
You have the resources to figure this out and get yourself a ride. But he's stewing about everything else. Like, he's mad. He's just grumpy and mad and angry about everything. The key part of this that I think got glossed over was he reportedly had a number, called it, and it was inactive. So someone gave him a number, which means someone told him, you will have transportation at the airport. And then it was given a number to a driver that didn't, actually exist or whatever. So that he's stewing over that now. And now he's just looking for reasons to get angry, right? He's Phil. He's in a bitchy mood because he's mad at the world. He's mad about everything, and everything's just simmering. And then he goes to Wembley. He's already on edge. The reports were that he had a tense conversation with Tony before the Jack Perry thing even happened, which is why the Perry thing I don't even think is really the story of that weekend. He was looking for a reason to explode, and Perry just gave him that reason. And then when everything happened, the reports were that he was screaming that he quit, which is why production had no idea if that match was even going to happen or if it was going to open the show. And then at the very end of the match, when he does go out and do the match, I watched this back today, because I noticed it at the time, and I think I even tweeted, like, wow, that's weird. He saluted the crowd and very clearly said goodbye.
Yep.
So I think at some point on that Saturday, Punk was like, I am out. This is not changing. These guys aren't leaving. The same shit's happening again. I'm getting blamed for stuff that I had nothing to do with. They won't even meet with me. I don't want to be here anymore. And I think he made it so that that they had to release him, because they didn't release him the first time. Now, none of this makes Punk right, by the way. None of this makes Punk right. I'm just saying, I think that was probably what was happening in his mind, if I can play his shrink there for a minute, going into that weekend and going into that day. I think he wanted out. I think he wanted out before, and they just wouldn't give him a release.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, he was certainly seemed to – he definitely did seem to be stewing, because, like we talked about it, like, he could have got there. He could have texted any wrestler who was already there who has their number. He could have got a cab. He could have gone to Tony after and be like, hey, Tony, just so you know, you owe me $200 like for that taxi ride. And he could have laughed it off. Like, a normal person could have done that, That wasn't Punk. Yeah, that's not what he came there for. He was already pissed off. I could see it. I wouldn't rule that out, that that's what he wanted to do. But I wonder if he would wanted to get sent home again, because that way he's at least getting paid. Like, they're very publicly saying he's fired with cause. Like, they said that multiple times.
Yeah, and the whole point of that is to not pay him.
Exactly. Yeah, which also makes, I don't know, to me that makes it look really bad in case WWE was interested. But I guess Punk, we're still waiting on Punk's rebuttal, or he's supposed to have something explosive to say about it.
Yeah, and again, like, we've kind of heard one side of the story. We'll hear Punk's side of the story. as is the case with all of these things, the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. Both sides are going to exaggerate to make themselves look good. I mean, that's just how this works.
Yeah.
You know, but the other thing with the with cause part, which I find interesting, and I'm not a lawyer, but I was talking to someone who is, and they were of the belief that if you're fired with cause, it probably means that there's not a non-compete. Or they didn't believe that you could enforce a non-compete if you were firing somebody with cause. But again, that was like, I don't know the situation, but you know, based on what you're telling me. So does Punk just is like, look, whatever. I don't care about the money. I'm going to go work somewhere else. Like, I don't know, but yeah, I would imagine that this is probably leading to some sort of litigation, especially if they owed him millions of dollars, which I'm going to guess that they did.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I think Punk got to the point where he was like, I don't want to be here anymore. And again, I don't think he ever really wanted to come back. And now that the reports are out there that he was trying to go to WWE in the fall of last year, I don't think he ever and went there to visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems a lot worse in retrospect. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he ever wanted to come back. I think he wanted to be out a year ago and just couldn't get out. And this time was going to make sure that he got out. You know, and again, like, he didn't do it the right way, right? He didn't leave AEW with or Tony with any other choice but to fire him. But I don't know that that's not what he wanted. Like, I really wonder if he got what he wanted out of this and getting he was fine with getting fired. Because if I watched his whole Cauliflower Alley Club speech at the end of last week, I think he gave it on Wednesday, so a few days after everything happened in London, and he was fine. He didn't seem angry. Like, he was he seemed pretty cool, calm, and collected. And yeah, he's in an award show, like collecting an award. But you know, he didn't seem agitated. He was telling stories. He was complimentary of Triple H, which was interesting.
Yep.
But like, he didn't seem that agitated. He didn't seem like a guy that was, you know, stewing over the fact that he might get fired. Like, he just seemed like a guy that was pretty happy with life. And I wonder if it's because he's like, I'm finally away from these people. I don't think he really ever wanted to be there. After everything that happened last year, I don't think he wanted to be there anymore.
Yeah, which is crazy because they basically gave him his own show. And it sounded like he had some sort of executive position within the company. Because
yes.
I forget what it said. Something like his contract and his employment contract is ended. So he certainly had something else. Something that, like, stood out to me, too, in that cauliflower thing was, like, him buddying up to, like, Bradshaw, too. Like, there's photos with them.
Yeah.
Like, having a good laugh. And he called out JBL at some point. He's like, oh, what should I do, Bradshaw? Whatever it was. But it's like, one, like, Bradshaw's very much WWE guy for life.
Yeah, he was telling a story about the first time he made an event in Madison Square Garden. It was against JBL.
Oh, he said at some other point he called him out, too, for something.
Oh.
He's like, what story should
I tell?
I
remember the part where he was saying the first time he was going to main event Madison Square Garden, I think, was against JBL, and he was nervous. And JBL, he was like, thought was going to, you know, just kind of be a hard ass about it because that's kind of was his thing. And mm-hmm. JBL came up to him and kind of like whispered to him in the locker room, like, hey, 22,000 people, they're all here to see you. Go out there and have some fun. Let's go. And then walked away, and Punk was like, oh, he's made the joke of, like, I guess he's not that bad of a guy after all, or something like that. And he was like, I'm sorry, John, like, I didn't mean to blow up your spot, but, like, because everybody views him as his hard ass, and Punk was like, he was actually kind of a sweet guy in that moment.
Oh, well, that kind of, like, irked me in a way about Punk, because he goes on to this whole thing, like, his whole thing, the voice of the voiceless, you know, and he's, like, chumming up with the biggest bully in wrestling of the past, like, 30 years.
I know.
Like, Punk, that's not your brand at all.
That's funny. So we'll see what happens. Again, do you think he ends up in WWE?
I think it all depends on what we find out about why Tony was scared for his life. Like, if we get some video of that incident and Punk's like about to, you know, choke the boss, you know, something public comes out and TMZ and all these different sites have it. Like, I don't think WWE could. I don't think they would want that look. If nothing comes out, I do think, yeah, I think they depend. I don't know. It's so tricky too, because we were talking about this as well. Like, how much is Endeavor, you know, letting them spend on contracts right now? Because Punk must be making millions. He's probably going to want millions to come in. unless he's really wanting to stick it to AEW and would take like a lesser contract, which is also possible because he's this strange guy. I'd put it, I don't know, 50-50? What do you think?
That's probably where I'm at too. I think WWE would bring him in for spite, to be honest with you, just to kind of show, hey, we made it work because, you know, we're professionals here and those jokers over there couldn't make it work with him. Like, I think they'd be motivated just by doing something like that, to be honest
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, I mean, you could run like a pay-per-view, like imagine them running like a pay-per-view main event, like Cody versus Punk. They could just like stick it to AEW.
Yeah, that was a good point. I could see them doing that just to be like, yeah, we made it work here because, you know, we're an actual professional operation and they can't. And again, that's not the truth. I'm saying that's just how they would frame it, right? And I think, you know, he's got a relationship with Endeavor. That's the other thing. Like, he's not a stranger to Endeavor. So, and Endeavor doesn't seem to care about past transgressions. I mean, they want Vince still involved. So,
That's true.
You know, Endeavor doesn't seem to care about your public perception or your reputation or anything like that. If they know you and like you, you're in. So I think if he wants to go there and now Endeavor's in charge, I think there's a better than not chance he ends up there at some point. I don't know how quickly, but I think there's a better than not chance. 50-50 is probably where I would put it, but and if it is better than 50-50, it's probably like, you know, 52-48. It's not like crazy. I don't think it's much better than 50-50, but I don't think it would be out of the realm of – I don't think it would be crazy to me either if I heard, you know, tomorrow that he signed. Like, I wouldn't be shocked by it.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility either. I think we will wait, or they would wait until we find out more about what went down and Punk's, like, response, which – very fascinated what it's going to be and when that's coming out. So.
Yeah, me too. And who knows? How will it come out this time? Because he's not friends with Cole Cabana anymore, so it won't be on that podcast anyway. I don't know. I wonder if he would just do it on his own. I mean, I don't know who he would do it with at this point. Does Ace Steel have a podcast?
The Ace Steel show. Yeah,
I mean, FTR does, right? But, I mean, Tony's not going to let that happen.
I think they closed that one down, actually.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they shut that one down.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Ariel Helwani? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. No, Ariel hates AEW, so he probably gladly has.
He would. That's what I'm predicting.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Ariel would be in his glory if he gets to take shots at AEW with CM Punk.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to some phone calls. We'll talk more about All Out in just a second, but I think, you know what, it cut off the phone number. So I think this is DJ in Miami. If not, tell me if I'm wrong, but it looks like your number just got cut off there.
Yep, DJ in Miami.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Good. How about you guys?
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. What's on your mind?
I don't know. All this drama. So this is like, what the hell's going on? So I feel like, before I go off on saying craziness, when you guys were mentioning earlier, did you see the thing with Miro and the thing with Brody King? Did you guys see that when they were saying, oh, he punched a wall because he was mad because of Punk, and then Miro and him were yelling in the background? But when Miro and him were yelling, they were playing around because they were laughing about it, like, and they were yelling, but they were saying Brody King broke his hand because he was all upset. I don't know if you all saw that. That was kind of funny.
I did not, but I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, I read something.
His hand punching the wall. He broke his hand and the match on the guardrail, he said. That was all BS. Like, whoever made that, but I don't know who made that up. He was in the back smashing the wall for no reason because of CM Punk got fired. Like, come on, dude. Nobody would do that. So that was kind of funny. going into the CM Punk thing, I feel like this is what happened. I feel like Perry went in and he think he was cool and he was like, oh, I did it. So on the way in, he bumped him. I think CM Punk, he probably said F you or something to CM Punk. CM Punk grabbed his ass and put him in a choke, and Tony Khan and people were going around him saying let him go, and he said hell no. He said the kid needs to learn, and then Tony, you know what I'm saying? So once you're in a huge fight like that, you get it up, and Tony Khan's in his face like, bro, get away from me. He did this, and, you know, he's probably telling him, I quit. I don't want to be here because this is, you know what I'm saying? Because this little punk-ass kid is doing this, and it's okay, but it's okay, you know, you know what I'm saying? So he probably told Khan, and Tony probably got in his face because, you know, Tony. So I don't think he lunged at him because CM Punk would not do that. He wouldn't even, you know, if he didn't lunge at, you know, Triple H or Vince, I don't think he would do that to Tony. I think Tony Khan was in his face, and maybe he, like, hey, pushed him or not even tried to put – you know what I'm saying? I don't really think that. I think, like, he was in his face, or maybe he tried to grab Punk because in the beginning they did say that the table fell a little and the monitors hit Tony and fell on Tony. So I'm pretty sure Tony got up and, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? So Punk is like, no. So – I don't know. I don't think he just, like, just, okay, the kid's still on the floor and then lunge at him. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of crazy. So I feel like something like that happened compared to whatever they're trying to say. You know what I mean? Because everybody was back there, and even Joe was back there, you know, of all people, Joe was there. I mean, if anybody can get off, pull CM Punk up, it would be Joe. You know what I'm saying? Especially if he was going after Tony.
Yeah, I think it's interesting we haven't seen the video yet because reportedly there were cameras everywhere and there are security cameras everywhere. And Andrew, like you said, I really want to see what this video is. Yeah. And I want to know why we haven't seen it yet because, again, not that anyone's going to release it. No one would have released it at this point knowingly or with their name attached to it. But, like, this stuff ends up coming out through TMZ or something like that all the time. You know, especially a site like TMZ, because they're going to pay a pretty decent amount of money probably for that video. And someone has a copy of that video. I mean, this stuff leaks all the time. NFL players get in trouble for, you know, getting in a fight in a lobby of a hotel or something, and the security camera footage is on TMZ, like, literally 30 minutes later. So people with access to that video that have seen it or in control of it, why has it not gotten out? That's for me. You know, and we haven't seen it yet, so we don't know. But is it because it confirms everything, or is it because it might not confirm things? Like, I don't know, but it's just curious to me that we're now over a week later and that video still hasn't surfaced yet. And I'm just surprised because I'm sure that someone is in possession of it and there was probably some monetary offers, you know, being made, you know, for it if you were in possession of it. That's how this stuff works. And I'd be really curious to see what that video looks like.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've been trying to, like, mentally picture, like, how this fight went down, like, pretty much all week, you know, off and on. But I do know Meltzer was saying that when he said lunch, he said, like, I was downplaying that. He's like, it was more than that. So just to throw that out there, like, that's at least, like, some people are saying that. People reported that to Meltzer. I don't know what their MO was, but, yeah, hopefully we find out, though, like, via video someday.
Yeah, that drove me crazy. I heard that, too. And that drove me nuts because that was part of a conversation where he also was like, you know, everything we reported over the last couple of months is we were being really fair and we were protecting him if protecting was the word, but we were protecting him or downplaying what.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, then my opinion is, why am I listening to you? You know, like, you're not telling me the truth.
Yeah.
So why am I listening then? You know, it's not something, it's the same thing when, and this isn't something just, you know, that's just on him. This happens all the time, happens in sports media, and it drives me nuts. But, like, a big story happens in the NFL, and then all of a sudden all these NFL reporters are like, well, yeah, I couldn't say anything, but I knew that was coming. It's like, oh, so you knew it was coming, you just didn't report it, you know. And some of these guys, like, they have their own subscription sites or whatever. So it's like, I'm subscribing to you because you're an NFL insider and you knew all this information that you're going to tell me now that it's out in public, you knew about, but didn't report on it. It's like, well, wait a minute, then why am I paying you then? Why am I subscribing to your website if you're holding back information?
Yeah, that's strange too.
I feel like that with this Punk story has happened a lot too, where, like, now things are coming out and all of a sudden people are like, well, I knew this story months ago, but I didn't share it. Well, then you don't get to take the victory lap now and say, well, I knew it then, but I didn't share it with you. Like, either get your sources on board that they're okay with you sharing the story, or corroborate it with a second source, or you can't then later on say, well, I knew this, I just didn't report it.
Yeah. Did you hear the Regal one today?
Yeah.
So.
That's a bizarre one too.
Yeah.
And apparently FTR was there for that interaction, I believe.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't hear that.
I think I read that. I could be wrong. What else, CJ?
Let me add a couple more things before I go to the next one. Let me ask you a quick question, though. Do you feel like him going on the air and announcing that he was fired, do you think that was good business or bad business?
Was Tony going on the air and saying it?
Yeah, I feel like that was bad business for him to do that live on air and like that.
Excuse me. We talked about this a little bit the other night, Andrew and I. I give him credit for doing it. I think the idea was a good idea. I think in execution, it did not come across well. I'm all for him trying to show authority and saying the buck stops with me and I'm the one in charge and all that stuff. And I think that's what he was trying to do. I think he was trying to take accountability for the decision. But it's just not like that type of it's not his strong suit, you know, and I don't think it was executed well, Andrew, even though I think the intent was good.
Yeah, I think it makes sense for sure for like the casual fans, because there has to be like a couple hundred thousand people who tuned in who may not have known about any of this.
Absolutely.
And he just gets out in front of it and says like, hey, this character CM Punk that you liked, who was on here every single week, he was the main guy of the show, he will not be around anymore. So I can respect that. But yeah, the way he did it was a little weird. And I keep going back to it, the feared for his life thing. I think he needed to either elaborate or leave that out, or because that's very strong. That's basically saying Punk, you know, yelling in somebody's face and like threatening to kill them essentially, or two way different things, though. I think there needs to be more to come out of that. Otherwise, that's, you know, pretty far.
Yeah, and that's where, like, again, I would love to see this video. Like, I think it would have been reported as such at this point, but when Tony feared for his life and then Meltzer is saying, well, it was more than a lunge, what does that mean? Did Punk have him in a choke? Like, did Punk have him, Tony, in a guillotine and he was choking him out? Like, what does that mean? And it seems to be a lot of people are dancing around it and instead of just saying what happened. And I get it. Like, there's probably going to be a lawsuit over it. But it just, I don't know. I'd love to see that video.
Yeah.
I just don't know how he's saying that he was scared for his life when Joe was right there. Like, there were so many wrestlers like that. That makes no sense to me. You know what I'm saying? But I will say one more thing about this. If he waits, right, and he comes and he just rests up and comes into Monday night after WrestleMania, people will lose their minds. I mean, nice secret doing that. That'd be, you know, old school. You know what I'm saying? Something.
Yeah,
because
I think it would be before that.
I just feel like in spite of EAW, he's going to come back. How he's going to come back,
yeah,
I don't know. If he does right after WrestleMania, the first night of Raw.
It's possible. I think if he does want to go back to WWE, I think he'll try to get in before this year's WrestleMania. Survivor Series is in Chicago. I mean, that's only a few months away. That's one where if there's not a non-compete, that makes sense to me. But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, be on Cody's team. Like, all of a sudden, a mystery guest. That'd be pretty dope, right? Him just coming out. Personality.
I mean, yeah, if there's a Survivor Series match with, like, a mystery partner, I'd be very interested in who that is.
Well, we'll see, I guess. I can't wait till November. I guess my next thing is this thing with Moxley, and I don't know what they're doing, these people, man. I give up on these people. I thought they had a rule book. I guess they just, like, burned or ripped up the rule book, or Moxley ate it. I don't know what is going on. oh, yeah, don't cuss. They're all yelling F you, and they're doing craziness, and they're trying to give Cassidy, like, the biggest push in the world. Like, he knocks out Cassio, and then he – I mean, I don't understand. It's like, what are they doing? This guy's, like, 120 pounds. Like, I don't understand. Moxie's, like, 30, 40 pounds over him. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this guy is not – a real wrestler. Like, this guy is a joke. I just don't know why they're doing these craziness matches for, and it took forever. Like, the guy's small. You beat bigger guys in less time.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what I think that's what they're going to be programmed to do. And Andrew, I don't know about you, like, when it comes to Orange Cassidy, like, I know I said this on Saturday, like, it was last week on Dynamite was the first time I was ever interested in him. And it kind of held true on Sunday. I thought, you know, it wasn't like kind of a classic big man versus little man match, but I thought it was good. And, like, I actually felt like Orange was in the right spot. You know, I don't know if main eventing is the right spot, but, like, that secondary title being kind of near the top. Like, he was in the main event because there was no world title match in the show, but, like, it wasn't necessarily the wrong spot for him.
Yeah, I think it made sense for the show to put him in there. They started over the past, like, couple months building up that title more and the fact that he was, like, you know, putting on really good matches. But, yeah, I'm completely with you on that. Like, I never really cared about the character until last week. And I actually thought, you know, when he lost, I wish they would have, like, stayed on him a bit longer instead of just, like, cutting the show because I thought that was a pretty cool moment for him to, you know, come to the realization that he lost and he really sold, like, the agony of defeat, and the crowd was, like, you know, really cheering for him. So I thought that was pretty cool for what we saw. And, yeah, I'm just hoping he continues with this more serious version going forward.
And then by Moxley, but it's just Moxley, how he acts too, you know, it's just weird, you know? It's like, if they're going to have a real match, Moxley doesn't want to have a real match. You know? It's always something with Moxley.
It was weird to see somebody bleeding in a John Moxley match, and it wasn't John Moxley, I can tell you that.
That is strange, yeah.
The spot where he bit his head, which was bleeding, though, and then Moxley had his Cassidy's blood all over his mouth.
Yeah.
I could have done without that. That kind of grossed me out.
Yeah. Another person's blood in your mouth. That spot in wrestling, it gives me the ugh.
Yeah, I was all set with that. You know.
Yeah.
But, hey, what do I know?
That's what I was like. That's what I'm saying. Like, he does craziness. Like, that's what I was saying. I guess my last thing real quick is, I don't know. This is like the Elite. This is like they fell off. People are booing them. I don't know if you really noticed that a lot, but they really were booing them.
They were booing the Bucks for sure.
Yeah. Seriously, like, I mean, more than they usually do. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a competing chant, I thought, Andrew, with the Bucks. Like, when they were out there last night in that eight-man, there was definitely a strong anti-Bucks crowd. There was definitely a pro-Bucks crowd that was at one point trying to drown them out, and there was kind of a back and forth. I thought the loudest the crowd was the entire night, and some of that was because they were, you know, at each other's throats trying to compete, I think, to see which side could be louder, the pro Bucks or anti-Bucks side of it.
Yeah, I figured, like, them being in Chicago, they were going to get booed just like they have at other times. I think, like, another problem they have, too, is their characters are kind of, like, ill-defined at the moment. I mean, I honestly don't know. Would you consider them faces or heels right now?
I don't even know.
Yeah, and they're, like, teaming up. They were feuding. They were acting like jerks to FTR, so they seem to be the heels in that match, and then they were teaming with them. So I think it's a mix of that, too, that their characters are just all over the place. And a lot of people are, I'm sure, in Chicago, like, kind of blaming them for everything that happened with Punk.
Yeah, if you're definitely a pro-Punk guy,
mm-hmm.
I think you put a lot of blame on the Bucks for the entire situation.
Yeah.
And if you're an anti-Punk guy, then the Bucks are your heroes. Like, mm-hmm. they're at the epicenter of it, I think, when for the fans that are very clearly on one side, like either team Punk or team anti-Punk. It's like that means you're either pro Bucks or anti-Bucks. Like it's, they're synonymous with each other. And it's, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, like it's almost like I compared it to somebody today as like, it's like the political climate in the United States with these guys. It's like, you've got, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, it's like people have morphed their political beliefs into this is my team and mm-hmm. everything my team does is right and everything your team does is wrong. And it's kind of the same thing with this. It's like if you're team Punk, everything Punk does is right and nothing he does is wrong. And if you're team Bucks or team Elite, everything they do is right and nothing they do is wrong. And there's no, you know, gray area with those hardcore segments of the fan base. And it just seems like that's what a lot of this is. I don't know that a lot of people are looking at this entire situation through the gray area. You know, they're looking at through either I'm a Bucks fan or I'm an Elite fan, and I'm going to shape my opinion based on being a fan of one of those two sides first and foremost.
Yeah, for sure. And which is kind of, I was thinking this too, this is really odd because, like, you know, Punk's whole song is like Cult of Personality, and like people are just like, the whole song is like, you know, yeah. I'll tell you one and one makes three. And it's like Punk has all these followers who just like follow him no matter what. And again, he was like my favorite wrestler to watch, but for the past couple of years, but I hopefully I'm not part of that cult.
Well, I'm very happy because I have, you know, Bucks fans mad at me on Twitter because I said that, you know, the Bucks are sharing some blame on this. And I have Punk fans mad at me on Twitter for even suggesting that he should have been fired and it was the right move. So the fact that both sides seem to think I'm wrong makes me think that I'm probably right.
Yeah.
Or at least enough in the middle that, like, all right, you're looking at this with some sort of a rational set of eyes, because yeah. both sides think that I'm wrong, which makes me feel good.
Or this all could have been a setup because Perry is good friends with the Bucks. So they all run in the same group. So maybe this was all set up from the beginning.
Could have been the reason why he felt the need to say what he said, too.
Yeah, he could have been just trying to impress them. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think, like, it was just strange because Perry was, like, very good friends with the Bucks. It wasn't like it was Brody King or somebody else from some other clique. You know what I'm saying? It was Perry, and he is very, you know, they're good friends. So I just don't know. That's kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah. No, I get you for sure. Anything else?
I'm trying to think. Did you guys watch the WWE or not really? Was this Jey Uso thing? Real quick or no?
The Payback show?
Yeah.
I did not, Andrew. Andrew and I were actually doing the Wade Keller post show after Collision on Saturday. So we both watched Collision, and then we were recording, I think, probably during most of that pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen Payback yet.
I don't think it's going to work. Like, if you watch Monday, it's like they're pushing him way too much. He thinks he's too much of a baby face. It's not going to work. It's just how when they came out, he's like, yeah, too many people are mad at you. And it's just like, it is. Like, too many people are there. Like, it's definitely not, I don't think it's going to work. And, you know, the main baby face is, Cody. And then under that, we do have, you know, people coming up like, this guy who just beat who's going to fight Gunther, you know, he's an upcoming babyface too. And it's like, okay, I don't understand. This guy, what is he going to do? Is he going to go a tag team or is he going to go solo? If he goes solo, he has no chance at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have zero idea. This is one where, like, it was good for a while. And I still think there's elements of the whole storyline which are pretty good, but some of it is starting. I'm starting to grow tired with it. It just, there are days where you watch some of the storyline developments with the Bloodline, and I'm like, all right, let's wrap this up. Like, it was really good for a while, but like we need to start to wrap this up a little bit.
Yeah, there was a few months. I mean, I quit watching WWE full-time a couple of years ago, but I would still now and then, like, tune in to see, like, a big Roman Reigns match and kind of see what's going on with the Bloodline at the end of the night. But, yeah, this I haven't paid super close attention the past couple of months because it's kind of, like, lost my interest. Like, yeah, that's why I didn't check out Payback yet. I honestly haven't even read what happened, so I got to do that to stay caught up. But, yeah, it's I think kind of the same thing. It's getting a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
It's very weird because, like, how he's like, Cody Rhodes called me. I'm like, oh, my God. It's just like, and then now that Sami Zayn came out today and they were talking, I mean, it went on and on and on and on. It's just like, it's not going to work. He's a tag team guy. He's not even that good of a wrestler. And they're going to put him in a single, they're going to try to push him in a baby. Come on. All of a sudden, out of the blue, there's a switcheroony. Like, that doesn't work like that. I hate when they do that.
When they do what?
When they just switch somebody, like, out of nowhere. Like, okay, hey, you took off 2 weeks. Okay, you're a babyface now. Like, what? Like, uh-huh. All those bad things. You burned my house up. Oh, it's okay. Hey, you beat up Jack Perry. Hey, it's okay. No problem. You're a babyface now.
That's how it works. That's how it works, I guess. I don't even know.
Please, let's watch Monday today, and you're going to shake your head. Watch.
I do that a
That's
lot.
That's what I'm
so,
saying.
Yeah.
It's like
I'll check out the highlights
him.
On YouTube tomorrow.
You know what I mean? It's just like, don't push this guy down our throats, and that's what they're doing already, you know?
They're very good.
It's just... So, nothing else crazy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do with the Nakamura thing because he is too old to be the top heel. Like, I don't know what they're doing. So it's just like, I'm so confused with WWE now, you know? So, I don't know. We'll see on Wednesday what the EAW with, but today I'm done with Raw. It's just kind of crazy.
Yep. No, I hear you. Well, I'm sure we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the call, as always.
Thanks. We'll talk next week.
All right. Sounds good. We got a couple of emails that we can get to in just a second. But, Andrew, before we get to emails, just really quickly, I guess, some of the stuff we didn't talk about when it came to All Out. We did talk a little bit about Moxley and Orange Cassidy. What did you think of the interaction? But we haven't talked about the interaction between Samoa Joe and MJF yet and how that whole angle thing played out. What was your opinion on the tag match, number one, and then the post-match angle with MJF and Joe?
The tag match was fine, I guess. I was really down on the idea of them facing Dark Order. I mean, pretty good in-ring action, but I would just not a big enough match for the Cole and MJF to be in part of. The Joe stuff did get me intrigued. I wish he hadn't lost to Punk now in retrospect because he's already been beaten. I wish they'd protected him more because that seems like a fun pairing to do MJF and Joe. Like, I'm looking forward to the actual match, but again, like, had they protected him more, this would be a bigger deal.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too. I made this point last night, although Wade and Todd didn't seem to agree, but that's fine. I wonder what your opinion is. I felt because of the fact that he did lose to Punk last week at All In. I'm sorry, Shane Taylor, but hey, if the decision's made, we're going to go with Samoa Joe, and he's going to challenge MJF for the title next. It was just like a 6 or 7 minute match, and Joe won with the submission, but I almost think you got to sacrifice Shane Taylor a little bit more. If you know Joe's coming off a loss, and now we're going to just put him into this world title match. I mean, he's going to have to win a tournament, presumably, to get it, because they have that tournament coming up. But, like, I would have liked to see him just kind of jump on Shane Taylor, land a couple of punches, grab a quick guillotine, and win in less than a minute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I thought that's where they were going with it because Joe jumped Taylor in the corner and immediately started firing off some punches, and I was like, oh, they're going to do it. Like, he's going to jump him. He's going to get on him quick. He's going to strap on a guillotine and just choke him out or whatever. And then it had a little bit of a back-and-forth feel for 3 or 4 minutes, and then Joe took control in the end. Do you think they should have done something like that? Do you think they should have done something where maybe Joe, you know, got a quick win in under a minute, and then the announcers are going, geez, you know, he just got in this brawl with MJF, and then he choked out Shane Taylor, who's like this big, tough guy, and Now he's going into the tournament, and he's going to probably have to win two or three matches in the tournament in order to get the title shot. Or do you think that what they did with Taylor was fine?
Yeah, I was listening to you and Wade and Tom talk about it, and I think their perspective was that, you know, if he won that fast, then it's basically like he's beating, you know, a nobody sort of thing. But
and I think that's where the announcers have to come in and be like, no, Shane Taylor is a tough dude.
100%. Yeah, I think you just play it like, hey, we've, like, this is a former, honestly, I know nothing about Shane Taylor.
I really don't either.
But you say, hey, he held the ROH TV title for 18 months, and he's considered one of the best TV title holders ever, and Joe just choked him out in 30 seconds. Like, this is a new Joe. He must be pissed after his, like, loss at Wembley. I was kind of with you on that one. Like, I get where they were coming from, but I think it would have made more of a statement to just, like, go back to Joe just, like, choking somebody out immediately. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that would have left a bigger mark, right? Like, if Joe pushes MJF and they have this big pull-up bar brawl, and then, like, minutes later he's choking a pretty big, tough-looking dude out.
Yeah.
It kind of just makes him feel like, all right, like, geez, Joe's a legitimate threat to MJF's title. And I guess at the same time, though, the more I thought about it today, I was driving around in my car earlier, and I was like, you know, I don't think what they did hurt that match in the long run, because so much has happened over the last 7 days that I think a lot of people forget that Joe even lost to Punk. Like, because so much other crap has happened over the last 7 days. I'm not even sure how many people are going to remember that he lost.
He probably – something he has going for him, too, and this is, like, real life, I guess, is people, like, respect him for getting involved and getting Punk to actually, like, do that match and, like, calm things down. So, I don't know. He's had some good publicity at the light. And just to go a little bit back a little, like, yeah, why they could have done a squash is because, like, later in the night they already had another big man match, and a better big man match, more fun
true.
One. And so this is just the lesser of the big man matches. So, yeah, if they had – and it would be fun, too, just to, like, they never do anything super short on the pay-per-view. So I'd be up for it.
Ken from Nashville sent us an email. I thought this was funny. He says, I'm exhausted with my newborn listening to y'all at 3 in the morning on the post-show. This was sent yesterday, so during the Collision post-show. He said that, Mike, you said during the post-show, quote, the last time I checked, nobody held a gun to Tony's head and said he has to run pay-per-views on back-to-back weekends. End quote. I just want to say, you have no evidence to prove that Cash Wheeler didn't hold a gun to Tony's head and force him to have these pay-per-views back-to-back. You all the best. Thanks for doing this show. Ken from Nashville. And then he says, I'm sorry if 25 other people made the same joke. No, Ken,
nope.
As far as I'm aware, you're the only person that made the joke. So I'm very happy that you made that joke because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we have no proof. And hopefully you're not up at 3 a.m. hearing us on this one. Hopefully you're sleeping.
Yes.
Hopefully you're sleeping.
Yeah, or listening at a normal hour.
Yes.
I remember those days, though. Now, you know what's funny? Before we get to the next email, just as an aside, I feel like I have a newborn again.
Okay.
We had a newborn baby. Like, when you have a newborn, you're up all hours in the night. You need to change. You need to eat, all sorts of stuff. I don't have a newborn, but I do have a 15-and-a-half-year-old dog.
Yeah.
Who can't sleep through the night. Like, he needs to get up and go pee in the middle of the night. And it's like, every night I feel like I have a newborn because it's like, it's 2:30 in the morning. He's whining. Time to take the dog out because he can't hold his pee all night. And I got to take the dog outside at 2 in the morning with turning all my lights on in the back and with a flashlight and hoping I'm not walking out to, like, a coyote in my backyard. So I didn't feel like I had the risk of running into a coyote when my kids were little, but now that I'm taking out the dog in the middle of the night, I feel like there is a possibility that I come across some big coyote in my yard. It hasn't happened yet, thankfully.
Oh, that'd be spooky.
I don't like it.
No.
But what am I going to do? The poor dog can't hold it all night long.
No. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
We do what we do. Do what we do. It's not his fault. Not that
no.
I keep telling.
He's just old. We'll all get there.
We have conversations about it. I don't know if he knows what I'm saying, but I pick him up because he can't go down the stairs. So I pick him up, and I'm like, hey, it's not your fault, bud. Like, you just, you know, can't hold him much anymore. I'll take you out. No worries. But I'm losing sleep because he gets up about 2, and I take him out. It's usually between 2 and 2:30 every single night. He's like a clock, which is good. So I take him out, and then we come back inside, and I put him back on the bed because he sleeps in our bed, and he's back to sleep in like 30 seconds.
Oh wow!
And
dang.
I'm awake for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm up from 2 to 3.30 nightly, pretty much. It's awful. So that part of it stinks, but it's the sacrifice I'm willing to make because my dog's pretty cool.
Your buddy.
Exactly. Exactly. And he sleeps on my side of the bed, so.
Oh, yeah, you gotta.
And it's just an agreement. My wife was like, I got up and did the diapers in the middle of the night. You have to get up with the dog. I said, it's fine. I'll do it. No issues.
Yeah, that's
no
a good agreement.
We have an email here about Pung. I don't know who sent this, though. They didn't sign the email, so I don't know. But it just says, hello, guys. Wanted to share my thoughts and get your take on it. I'll try not to go too long, but apologies in advance. This is not a very long email, so you don't have to apologize, whoever sent this. I do think Tony was justified in firing Pung because I think he's more trouble than he's worth. However, I think it's a bad precedent that he has set, especially after the Young Bucks were shown taking victory laps at Collision. I think Tony has shown who he's signing with, which were his day ones, and those on the roster who aren't cool with the Elite might be affected booking-wise, a la the Click or the NWO. I think AEW now and moving forward is what it is at this point. It's not for everyone. More of a niche product where you might pick and choose what you want to watch. Ratings reflect that, and that's fine, but I feel AEW has become what many others have avoided but ended up being, which was second to WWE, was being looked at as a true alternative. I mean, in certain aspects, I don't think that that's wrong, but, you know, at the same time, I still enjoy most of what AEW's product is. Take all the behind-the-scenes BS out of it. Like, I enjoy their show more than I enjoy WWE's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same with that. There's definitely some troubles. They seem to have hit some rough patches here and there of like storylines being really weak or rushed or they make no sense. But yeah, when they get to the pay-per-views, they usually deliver and make me go, you know, make me appreciate that there is an alternative of sorts out there.
Zach in Texas says, hey, fellas, you've kind of already discussed the Punk firing, but a quick word on Jack Perry. Punishing him is complicated. Optically, you don't want to look like he's being punished for what happened with Punk instead of just his smart-ass comment. It's not like this is the first time someone has made a smart-ass comment in a wrestling ring, and the punishment has to fit the crime. Yeah, but this is different, I think. I think Tony needs to set an example here. But, again, I'm not going to go crazy about it. Speaking of AEW getting its groove back, they pulled off a magic trick with All Out. It was better than it had any right being, given the drama and the cobbled together build. We got a match of the year contender in Omega Takeshita. Yeah, we didn't even talk about that one, jeez. Mm-hmm. And the damnedest strap match I've ever seen. Two big meaty men slapping meat matches. Darby Allin being practically murdered in the ring in a fantastic main event. Seriously, you guys should both apologize for every horrible thing you ever said about Orange Cassidy.
Wow.
He absolutely showed out in the biggest match of his career. The Defiant Double Bird at the end was great. AEW is very lucky that they have such a pool of talent that they can pull off a show like this. Yeah, I mean, again, it's the first time I've ever been interested in Orange Cassidy. And that's not – I guess it is a knock. It's a knock on some of the stuff he was doing earlier on where it's just – I felt like he wasn't taking things seriously, and if his character wasn't taking it seriously, why should I care about his character? But – yeah, he was fantastic. He was great on Wednesday. And actually, you can go back. I thought he was great at All In. He was great at the media scrum after All In. He was great on Wednesday. And he was great again last night. Like, it does feel like Orange Cassidy has taken a turn here.
Yeah, I don't apologize for knocking on him for the past couple of years because he was doing the same goofy stuff every single week. Doing the slow kicks and the... And the hand, you know, and it was driving me crazy because that stuff was, like, backfiring half the time. Yeah, he was just doing the same stuff. So, like, yeah, I got tired of it. I'm liking this next step of his character, and I will probably continue to like it if he goes this route. If he goes back to just being a goofball and hanging out with Trent's mom in a minivan, then no. Then I would say they wasted a lot of potential there.
And I think you could still do some of the goofy stuff, too. Like, we talked about this on Saturday. You can – the fact that he's ending his promos with, you know, and I don't have a catchphrase is a kind of a cute little goofy line. But
I enjoyed it,
That's fine. Like, that works. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. It's not him, you know, trying to fight with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah, I was I've been impressed with him the past few weeks.
All right, here we go. You're going to get excited. Here we go.
$5 challenge.
$5 challenge.
$5 challenge.
$5 challenge.
Here it is. Zach has sent in another $5 challenge. The other emailers didn't. That's fine. Because we are rolling along and getting late into the show again. But let's get to Zach's challenge. And, of course, Andrew, you know what Zach's theme is, don't you?
I have yet to win in 6 weeks, but I'm ready.
Yes. Price is Right, $5 challenge. Zach says, first, I got to say, rest in peace, Bob Barker. 99 years is a hell of a run. Okay, here are this week's items. Remember, it helps control the pet population. Have your pets sprayed and neutered.
Nice. Absolutely.
That was a tribute to a great Bob Barker. All right. Mike, Andrew, let me set this up on my sheet of paper so I can track this here. And here we go. Good. I will bid first. You bid the over, or you can take the over the under based on this first item. Here we go. The first item is a Roddy Piper ring worn black kilt. A Roddy Piper ring worn black kilt, horn belt, and Piper's Pit t-shirt. So it sounds like an entire deal.
Wow. Something he actually wore. Okay.
Like an entire, yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Ring worn. So this is not. This has got to be up there, right? Ring worn stuff's not cheap.
Only so many of them out there. Yeah.
Yeah, ring worn stuff is not cheap. So I'm gonna have to go. Oh man, I'm gonna go five grand. I think.
Ooh. I am going to go more than that. Remember when Dustin Rhodes' boot was for sale?
Oh, that's right. What was that? What was that? I don't remember.
It was like 20 grand.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. All right. Well, I like it.
That could have, yeah. I'm going with it, yeah.
All right. Item number two, you're going to place a bid on this one, a WWE official 2012 tour program. What is that item being listed for on eBay at the moment?
A tour program in 2012?
A 2012 tour program from WWE.
$40.
I'm going to go under.
Ooh.
If it was a year that wasn't like 2012, I would say maybe. But like 2012 just wasn't that long ago.
Right, yeah.
Like I feel like supply and demand, right? There's probably a lot of those circulating, right? It's not like if it was a 1982 program or something like that, I'd be like, okay, yeah. I mean,
what was that, like the John Laurinaitis era?
Yeah, yeah.
TV.
Exactly. Anonymous GM.
Yeah.
Item number three, a WCW NWO Kevin Nash memorabilia lot, including.
Oh, man.
Ink pens, a Kevin Nash air freshener.
Ooh.
Kevin Nash crazy dipped candy, a TV guide with Kevin Nash on the cover. A TV guide with Stone Cold in the cover, and a 10-inch Kevin Nash plush toy.
Jeez, that,
a lot of memorabilia, including pens and air freshener, some candy, and like, TV guides.
Can smell like Kevin Nash, I guess.
Smell like Kevin Nash. This isn't like crazy good memorabilia, though. I'm gonna say $10.
I'm gonna take the over, but I'm gonna guess it's like $18. Yeah, that's. I don't think I want that, any of that.
Yeah, it's just not a great, lot of memories.
No.
All right, your next item is a 2002 WWE vintage RVD foam finger.
Oh, man, there was a foam finger one. I think it went more than I was thinking it. RVD, 2002, was it, or what year?
2002 WWE RVD foam finger.
Okay. That was kind of when he was a bigger name.
Post-invasion.
I'm going to go $65.
$65 on the phone finger. Yeah, see, this is one, once you get 20 years, I feel like you can get into some stuff that's a little bit pricier. But I don't know if it's 65 pricey. Might be like a 45 pricey. I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I don't think it's much under, but I'm going to go under.
All right.
And then number five, a WCW Bret Hart refrigerator magnet. Bret Hart, I mean, it's going to be like a refrigerator magnet. I mean, it's going to be like $4. I guess I'll go $4.
I'll take the over, and my guess is like $7.
All right. Okay, let's see. Number one, a Roddy Piper ring-worn black kilt, sporran belt, and Piper's Pit t-shirt. I put in a bid of $5,000. Andrew took the over $5,000, the actual retail price. $22,141.55.
Yes.
That is an Andrew victory in item number one. $22,000, wow. Item number two, an official tour program from WWE in 2012. Andrew bid $40. I took the under on that bid. The actual retail price, 99 cents.
No way.
All right. So one to one. The big Kevin Nash memorabilia lot with the air freshener and pens and a couple of TV guides. I put in a bid of $10. Andrew took the over. And barely is victorious with the bid of with the actual retail price of $12.
Oh, my gosh. This could be it for me.
Andrew's up 2-1. All right, a 2002 WWE vintage RVD foam finger. Andrew bid $65. I took the under. The actual retail price, $50. We are tied at 2.
Oh, my gosh.
So it all comes down to item number five, which is the WCW Bret Hart refrigerator magnet.
It all comes down to a Bret Hart refrigerator magnet.
A WCW Bret Hart refrigerator magnet.
Come on.
I bid $4. Mm-hmm. Andrew took the over. The actual retail price, $30. Andrew picks up.
Yes.
You win 3-2.
My first victory. Oh, my God.
In the words of Gorilla Monsoon, history has been made.
History.
Here tonight.
Wow. I'm speechless. It only took.
You know what? Even in defeat, like, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it feels good. You know, it was hard fought, 3-2. You know, sometimes you put your best foot forward and your opponent just beat you. What can I say?
You put up a hell of a fight. I think that Bret Hart could have gone either way. It could have been 2 cents. It could have been $30.
$30 refrigerator magnet. Wow.
That'd be an excellence of execution of refrigerator magnets, I guess.
It must be. You can hold up a lot of your kids', you know, papers and stuff like that and artwork with a Bret Hart refrigerator magnet.
It.
All right. Well, Andrew, I don't have anything else unless you do.
Well, we got one more competition for you.
Is it about refrigerator magnets?
There might be a refrigerator magnet in there.
Okay.
Question? Spoiler alert, there isn't, though.
Oh, I was excited.
So I was thinking of a theme, and, you know, some bad things have gone on. You know, I was like, should I do a Bray Wyatt one, a Terry Funk one? A CM Punk one, and I was just like, no, so no theme tonight. We're just going random questions.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, good. I actually feel like I have a shot on this one now, because if it's a topic I know nothing about or, like, I'm really bad on, then I'm going to go 0-5. But if it's random, I mean, there's a possibility that I might know 4 out of 5.
You might know every single one of these ones.
I'm not going that far, but, yeah, we'll see.
Question number one. Who was the last WWF champion?
Oh, my God. That's a good question. They transitioned the belt in 2000. They got the F out in WWF in 2002. I think it was May of 2002 that they made the change. I think. I think it was May of 2002. So would Brock have been the title holder yet at that point? Close to being that guy. Who else would have been around there? Triple H probably would have held it. It wasn't Jericho, because Jericho unified them. But then he lost to Triple H like a couple of months later. So... and then I think Brock won it. at SummerSlam. Brock won it at SummerSlam in 02. But that would have been after the split. I think the split was in May. So who did Brock beat? I don't think Brock beat Triple H in that match. I think Brock beat The Rock? So did The Rock have it? I'm going to go The Rock.
The great one, The Rock. All right. Which wrestler?
I think Lesnar beat The Rock for the belt in SummerSlam, and I think that was SummerSlam 02. Yeah, I'm going to go The Rock.
Question number two. Which wrestler reactivated the European title by finding it in Shane McMahon's bag?
Excuse me, that's hilarious. It's such a way to react. I mean, the idea is, how are we going to reactivate titles? Right? We're going to bring this title back. I know how we'll do it. We'll find it in somebody's bag. I remember this. This was I don't know if this matters. I don't think it was Naked Midian. I think it was regular Midian.
Okay. Idiot. All right. Question number three. Who threw the WCW TV title in a garbage can?
Oh, man, I have no idea. I'm going to have to guess on this one. I'm going to guess that it happened after the whole Medusa thing, and they may have been playing into that. After she dropped the women's title. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, that would have happened. Medusa would have happened in like 96. So we're probably talking, so it wouldn't have been too long after that. I don't think. Sometime like 97, 98, 99, where they probably did something like that as a callback. But I don't remember. Who was the WCW TV champion? You had, like, Booker T was one in a bunch, I think. I think Benoit had it a few times. In my head, the Steiners each held it. It's got to be somebody like that. I don't think it was Booker T, but I know Booker T had that belt a ton. So I think there's odds are it could be Booker T, so I'm going to say Booker T.
Okay. Question number four. Who is the only wrestler to wrestle on both ECW and WCW's final pay-per-view? That's a fun one.
I read about this recently or heard about it recently. Oh, my God. Hold on. I have to think because it's going to hit me because I think I remember reading about this or hearing about it on a podcast or something like that. I did just hear about or just read about this or hear about it. Who the hell was it though? Because they weren't that far apart.
Same year. Yeah.
Because the last ECW show would have been like probably it was the same year. I bet it was January of 01. Because WCW was done by March. And I think their last pay-per-view was like the end of February. Or maybe the beginning of March.
Yeah. Yep.
So it would have been somebody that left, almost immediately after this WCW show and went to ECW show and then went to WCW. They would have left immediately after. Would have been on both of those. RVD was never in WCW. I mean, maybe Jerry Lynn could be a guy that did both. I think he ended up in WCW at the end. Not Sabu, not Streamer, no. Would it have been Funk? No, Funk wasn't on ECW's last pay-per-view. Sandman, I think, had gone back and forth, but was back at ECW and didn't go back to WCW, I don't think.
Hardcore hack.
Yeah. I think he was like Raven, though. I think he left went to WCW, then came back to ECW, and I don't think he left ECW once he came back. I don't think. I'm going to say Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn. Mr. JL. All right, final question of the night. All three members of the Shield defeated the same man for the Intercontinental Championship. Who was that wrestler?
No way, really?
Yeah, they've all defeated the same guy to win. They may have held the belt more than once, but they all defeated.
They did beat the guy. That
they all beat the same guy.
Point.
Yeah.
No way. That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay. Again, don't know for sure, so I'm going to have to think about this. So all three members of the Shield beat this same person. So who would have been a person around the time of, like, geez, none of those guys have held the Intercontinental title for a while. And they were the Shield right at the end of Punk's run, which was 13, 14. So we're probably looking at Intercontinental champions around 15, 16, 17, somewhere around there. Which means that who would have held the belt, the Intercontinental Championship, a lot around that time? Total guess on my part, but a guy that I think he held that title so many times, probably around that time period, because he was a heel, is... I'm going back and forth to the Ziggler or the Miz. I don't know who to pick. I'm going to go Ziggler or the Miz, I feel like, would have held the belt a million times. Like, we're talking like probably 15, 16, 17, somewhere in that area. I'm going to go Miz. I think it's either Miz or Ziggler.
Okay.
Like, if I'm wrong and it's not Miz, I bet it's Ziggler.
All the questions. And are you locked in?
Do I want to change? I don't think I'm going to change any of these. I think I'm absolutely, yeah, I am locked. I am locked.
This
in.
Is going to be bad! well, Vince might have been, that might have been foreshadowing a little bit, depending on your definition of bad, of course.
Bad is zero. Anything north of a half, and I'm going to feel pretty good.
Yeah, you did much better. You did much better. You did not do bad at all. You did good. You got two.
I got two. Oh, the Midian one I'm very confident in.
You did get the Midian one.
Okay. So I don't know which the other one is. Is the Miz the other one?
The Miz is the other one.
Okay. Oh, see, I was going to go either Miz or Ziggler. So, all right. All right. Well, it's kind of funny then I was able to pick out the two that I got that I was confident in that I was.
Yeah,
correct.
That was good.
Which means I really blew the other ones.
you know, you were close. Who was the last WWF champion? You guessed The Rock. It was actually Hulk Hogan.
Oh, that's right. And then I think did The Rock beat Hogan?
I think Undertaker? No.
Undertaker beat Hogan. That's right. Undertaker beat Hogan. Rock beat Undertaker. And then Lesnar beat Rock.
Yeah, and yes. Hogan beat Triple H.
Hogan beat Triple H.
Jericho.
Who beat Jericho? Yep. That's how it went. You're 100% right. Yep.
So close. You were close.
It was the right time period anyway.
Yeah. You were only a couple months off. Which wrestler reactivated the European title by finding it in Shane McMahon's bag? You were correct. It was Midian. Who threw the WCW TV title in a garbage can? You guessed Booker T. It was actually Kevin Nash. This happened years later.
I don't know why.
And so,
I don't remember this at all.
Jim Duggan pulled it out of a dumpster. And, like, defended it on Saturday night near the end of the promotion. But Scott Hall won it, and then he, like, handed it to Nash, and Nash threw it away.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Who is the only wrestler to wrestle on both ECW and WCW's final show? You guess Jerry Lynn. It was Easy Money / Jason Jett.
I would have never have guessed that.
Oh, I completely forgot about Easy Money. Yeah. And then all three members of the Shield did defeat The Miz at one point or the other for the Intercontinental Championship.
All right.
Two.
All right. One more thing I wanted to ask you about. Speaking of Kevin Nash, it prompted my memory before we wrap up. I haven't heard the whole clip yet, but I heard an excerpt today of Kevin Nash and his podcast talking about the whole Tony Khan CM Punk thing and his belief that, like, Tony Khan needs some muscle. Like, he almost needs, like, in wrestling terms, he needs a heater. He needs, like, a big guy to kind of do the dirty work for him. Do you agree? Like, could he use a, I don't even know who it would be, but like maybe, honestly, someone like a Nash to come in and work in management, but to kind of be his muscle? Like, does, because it's not Tony's personality to be the a-hole. Like, does he need to bring in an a-hole to be the a-hole when it's time for someone to be an a-hole?
Yes. Tony, he doesn't like confrontation, which is fine. The vast majority of people do not like confrontation.
And by the way, like, Vince has done that for years. That's what the vice president of talent relations is supposed to do. They're
the bad guy.
So Vince doesn't have to be. Like, that's the job. I don't think Christopher Daniels is doing that in AEW, but that is the job. It's to be the jerk so that the owner doesn't have to.
Yeah,
the
like
owner
Jim
can
Ross,
be the baby
face. Laurinaitis, like, those are the guys who would get a lot of the hate.
Yeah, that's why everybody hated those guys. Like, the reason why John Laurinaitis was hated is because he had to be the jerk. That's literally the job.
Yeah. Because if he doesn't like confrontation, which is totally fine, but, you know, that you have to confront people, or people have to be confronted in a company at times. And if he doesn't want to do it, hand those reins over to somebody else. Regal would have been a good guy to do that. But of course he was gone. Like a Nash type. Nash doesn't seem to mind confrontation at all. I would just get somebody like that when you have to deliver bad news to someone. Go through them. Yeah, make your life easier.
And I don't think it can be Christopher, because Christopher James is too close to being an active member of the roster.
Yeah,
he can't be in charge of the roster when he was part of the roster when the company first started. Like, it's he's not far enough removed.
And I just don't know if he has that vibe either. If people,
I don't know either. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody.
But I think it needs to be someone, you know, someone who's in their 50s who the wrestlers are going to respect and who hasn't been involved in wrestling for a while, like as an active competitor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who can come in and have a little bit of authority. When I heard that today and I was like, you know what? I think it's a good idea. Like, I do think Tony could use somebody like that.
Was he pitching himself or was he just saying that in general? Okay.
No, he wasn't pitching himself. It struck me as like, you know what? He wasn't pitching himself, but I think he would be very good in that type of role. I don't know that he wants it, but somebody like him, you know, someone who is of Kevin Nash's age, you know, 50s, 60s, but has been around, has been very successful, has been a top guy who kind of has an attitude of, I don't really, you know, give a shit. And if people like me, fine. If they don't like me, fine. Like, to be the guy who can kind of steer Tony in the right direction, maybe when it comes time to make hard decisions, and can also be the guy that can deliver those hard decisions to talent so that Tony doesn't have to. I think Tony would benefit greatly from somebody like that.
Yeah. I mean, somebody like Nash would, I mean, he would do it for the money. Like, whereas like somebody, and I don't know if Daniels is this way, but maybe he's just doing it because, you know, to make friends. He has a lot of friends there, and it's probably not easy for him to, like, you know, tell them what to do. Whereas somebody like Nash would be like, hey, I'm totally here for the money. This is what I'm doing. This is my job. So,
I mean, Daniels was on, you know, being the elite until,
that's
a
good point. Yeah.
And like, so the guy that's supposed to be the boss and in charge of talent relations is chumming it up with guys on their YouTube channel making jokes.
Yeah.
And clearly, like, that has become an issue with part of the roster. It needs to be someone. Even aside from all that, like, I think it needs to be someone who is far enough removed from being a performer themselves so that people don't think, oh, you're doing this because you're trying to get yourself over, you have an ulterior motive because you're friends with this guy. Like, it needs to be someone like a Laurinaitis in WWE who was, well removed from all that stuff. Like, he was never really – he wasn't an active competitor in WWE and was far removed from being a member of any roster himself.
This guy might be too abrasive, but maybe like a Bully Ray?
Yeah, somebody like him. You know, it's not a bad idea. I think he'd be good at something like that. I mean, he has some promotional background as well. And
yeah,
again, like a guy that has been there and done that and doesn't care if he's going to be friends with people. Like, no, somebody like Nash, somebody like that would be somebody that Tony can use as kind of a buffer or a bodyguard. Would be good. I think it would be good. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
All right, Andrew, where else can people find you?
You can find me on the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast. That is a bunch, 50-some episodes of original horror comedy storytelling episodes. We're working on some new ones for the Halloween season, but get caught up at the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast.
Find me on Twitter, Torchic Man. Email the show, alleliteaftershow@gmail.com. Until next week, he's Andrew. I'm Mike. We'll talk to you a week from now. Enjoy wrestling this week, everybody. Bye.